Happy Friday to everybody. Brian Mazeroski, Joe Beamer with you on WBEN. And getting ready for a weekend, Joe. It's going to be one of these up and down weekends. Like, on one hand, I'm very excited. It's anytime you have that unique Bills game atmosphere, right, for the weekend where it's something that's out of the ordinary, it is kind of fun. Like, it's going to be a fun weekend.
Fun weekend.
Like that. On the other hand, this weather is just terrible. I mean, it's brutal.
Gloomy.
The switch that we've had.
It is, you know, and last night, it was very nice up until 9 o'clock last night. It was one of those just beautiful days, and woke up, hit me in the face. You know, the car's wet, the road's wet.
Yeah. Today's rain. Not that bad. 30 degrees you're dropping from yesterday to Sunday is, like, that is
But you're going from
off a cliff.
You're going from sunny to yesterday, partly sunny.
Yeah.
To, I mean, it is downright gloomy outside.
Yeah.
It looks like Tuesday feels.
That's a good one. We'll go right now live to London with an update on everything going on over there. Chris Brown is joining us. Chris just got the lowdown from head coach Sean McDermott, his morning press conference today. I want to start off first. He'll be on the call, by the way, WGR 9:30 kickoff. Can't stress that enough. Sunday, down the dial on WGR. First of all, Chris, how did the travel go to London and everything like that last night?
Travel was smooth. Players tried to get sleep on the plane as best they could, including us. And then we're up and at them here. You know, we landed at about 7 a.m. local time and just trying to power through today. And then I know the players, at least the plan is to get to bed somewhere between 9 and 10 p.m. local time and probably sleep 9 to 10 hours. And according to the sports science department, that should put them on local time fully adjusted. So by Saturday, you should have this thing down.
So how does that differ from where the team would usually be in game day preparation if they were home or on the road here in the States?
I don't know that it would change all that much. I think the only big change was flying on a Thursday as opposed to a Saturday, which is typically the case for them. They would be flying tomorrow, usually, for most road games. Obviously, the distance and the time change kind of left them with, you know, no choice but to leave a day or two early to account for that time change and get acclimated accordingly.
On the team and what we heard from the coach just an hour or so ago, a lot of question marks on defense heading into this game. You have, obviously, what's it going to look like with Trey White out, you know, the first game they're going to start this season without him after that, you know, terrible injury last week. You have the question mark around Von Miller. And now we know Greg Rousseau is out, Chris, that information just about an hour ago.
Yeah, right, out with a foot injury. Did not practice at all this week and didn't make the trip either, as we found out later when Coach announced that he would not be playing on Sunday. So he's out of the mix. Fortunately, the Bills are deep at that position. Coach did say that the decision on Von Miller would not be connected in any way to Greg Rousseau being out. So what you have there is a situation where, you know, Von Miller's decision is going to probably be made either tonight or tomorrow as to whether or not he's going to dress and play. And if he doesn't, it's not like the Bills don't have enough players to put out there at the defensive end position. You still have A.J. Epenesa, who I would assume would take on a larger role, and then Kingsley Jonathan, the promising second-year player out of Syracuse, who's played each of the last 2 weeks and has flashed at times. I think some people remember him chasing down two outside the pocket in last week's game and getting a hit on him, even though he did get the pass off. And you still have Shaq Lawson, the veteran, in the mix as well. So it's not like they'll be shorthanded. I think the cornerback position, though, is an interesting one, as you mentioned also, not just because Trey White is out for the season, but because Christian Benford has been a limited participant all week and has been wearing a red non-contact jersey. If you remember last week, he did re-enter the game, but he was playing on special teams only until they were really desperate and had to put him out there on defense at the end of the game. If he's kind of in that same boat where they prefer to just play him on special teams and not endure the contact that a cornerback has in a given game, I think there's at least the possibility we could see Kyrie Elam not just being up and active on game day, but starting on Sunday. I think that's a possibility.
Chris, I have just a quick follow-up on Rousseau and then a question about the game. Rousseau out this Sunday, as we said. Is there a timetable? Is there a likelihood of him being back next Sunday, not to look past this game?
Yeah, I don't think there's any way for us to know that because we just don't know the severity of the foot injury. So if and when we get better clarity on that, we'll have a better sense as to just how much time we're looking at Greg Rousseau missing.
Looking at the Jacksonville Jaguars coming off a win against the Falcons in London, this is a team that snuck into the playoffs last year. What do you think of this matchup, and what are the matchups within the game that you're looking at?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how the pass rush does. Cam Robinson, their starting left tackle, is coming off a four-game PED suspension. He is expected to start at left tackle. You know, he hasn't played live bullets football, you know, since last season. So that's going to be an adjustment for him. Do the Bills try to take advantage of that early? And then it looks like Zay Jones is going to be back in the lineup, the former Bill, at wide receiver for Jacksonville. So that kind of diversifies their offense even more. They have a dynamic pass-catching tight end in Evan Ingram, along with Christian Kirk in the slot and Calvin Ridley outside. So they can go three receivers and a receiver-like talent at tight end in Evan Ingram. It, you know, knowing that they're down one corner already and Benford's availability somewhat up in the air, I'm very interested to see how the Bills handle the coverage assignments from that perspective.
You know, it's a game against Jacksonville, Chris, that, I mean, these two teams do have a little bit of history. I mean, it seems like an unsexy matchup, right? But you factor in, I was just reminded of, it's one of my favorite Bills plays of all time, Doug Flutie, last second, running it into the corner of the end zone back in 98. I mean, that was my favorite Bills play for like 20 years before Josh Allen took over. It was like the best we had. The playoff game, I mean, it wasn't the best playoff game we've ever seen, but they met in the playoffs as the Bills broke the drought. You have the previous London trip. I mean, there's some unique games between these teams.
Yeah, and if you want to go back even further, Jim Kelly's last game as a Bill was the 96 wild card game, you know, at then Rich Stadium. So, yeah, there is, you know, for a team that was an expansion club in 95, there's a fair amount of history between the Bills and the Jags. Even the previous London game in 2015 was against the Jags at Wembley Stadium, and that was a game that was entertaining but ended in horrific fashion on a controversial pass interference call on Nickell Roby. The Bills had come back all the way back from a 27-3 deficit to take the lead on a 44-yard interception return by Corey Graham. And then the Jags had time to work with. It's fourth down. Blake Bortles throws a pass in the direction of a receiver. I want to say it was Allen Hurns. And I had a perfect view of the play. Nickell Roby-Coleman did not even make contact with him as the ball arrived, and they flagged him for pass interference on fourth down, which gave them a fresh set of downs, continued to drive for the Jags. And I think it was four plays later they scored a touchdown to win the game 34-31. So kind of a long trip home after that one. So hopefully this one ends in much better fashion.
And we're hoping. And Chris, have fun over there as much as you can. I know you're keeping busy. Thanks for taking the time with us.
All right, take care, guys. Enjoy the game on Sunday.
Chris Brown will be on the call over down the dial on WGR 9:30 kickoff Sunday. The game is on NFL Network and Fox locally if you want to catch it on TV. So I think it's pretty exciting, Joe.
Very exciting. There's another Jaguars game that I completely forgot about until 2 seconds ago. 2018, Josh Allen ran it in for the game-winning touchdown, 24-21. 2018 was the first game I took my wife to. Was Bills-Jags. It was in Josh Allen's first year. Bills weren't awfully good. But I completely forgot about the game, but it was a very exciting game at Highmark Stadium.
I don't remember that one too much. I remember one, it would have been like 2009, maybe, where we won very late in the game. Might have been like a last second, or maybe we lost last second. It was a close game.
Yeah,
Travers. Yeah, give you a little bit of hope for the season. One of those things.
So many games during the drought were those give you hope games either for that season or the next season, you know, that you can point to. And by the way, I shouldn't short sell. Jacksonville didn't just sneak into the playoffs. They had one of the best comebacks in the playoffs last year as well. So I don't want to short sell their playoff appearance.
Well, it's a 9:30 kickoff, and we want to know what your plans are for the game. 9:30 a.m. on a Sunday, 803-0930. You can join us this morning on WBEN to talk a little bit about that. There's also 4 hours left in this fire truck auction that I'm just really all in. Would you buy a fire truck? $3,200 right now is the price. Somebody said you don't need a special license to drive.
Just going
to
ask, does that
but
change anything?
I just assumed it had an air brake and you would need a CDL. But I that's my assumption. I have no idea. So someone, if you don't need a special license to drive it.
This isn't the one where you need someone in the
meet
back.
Meet you in Lackawanna.
This isn't the one where you need someone in the back as well, steering like,
no.
Like the Kramer fire truck?
Not from what I can see.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. But what are you thinking about? Something has bugged me about, well, there's a few things that have bugged me about the London trip that I keep hearing over and over and over again. I'll start with number one.
Okay.
Because number one is just kind of cut and dry. I just will never understand the fact. Maybe someone can explain it to me. And I talk about this every time. You know, I went to New Orleans a couple years ago for the Bills game. I went to Cincinnati last year. I never understand the fascination. And I'm seeing it now as you're in a different country, on a different continent, totally different culture. I've never understood the fascination of going outside of Western New York. You know, you go somewhere different to watch the Bills play. And your itinerary consists of, well, I'm going to go to a Bills party, I'm going to go to the one place where they have Labatt Blue, and I'm going to eat chicken wings and then watch the game and then come home. Like, isn't the whole point of going somewhere to do, like, something just a little bit different?
By the way, I've also already seen three people post about a Tim Hortons in London.
Like, right? I mean, what are you going to do in London? Well, I went to Tim Hortons, I went to the bar where they had Labatt, and then went to the football game.
Yeah.
Who'd you see? Arsenal? No, the Bills. And then we came home. Like, I don't know. Am I the only one that finds that a little bit weird? And it's not just this London trip. I feel like anywhere you go, you always hear, right? Well, the Bills backer bar brought in all the cases of Labatt and everyone drank it dry. It's just weird.
When I would visit my friend who used to live in Charlotte, he would say, oh, we have to go to this Bills bar. They have Labatt Blue and chicken wings. And I would say, well, I get that at home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here to, that's great for you because you live here now. I will never understand. I've made this mistake before, getting chicken wings outside of Buffalo. Like, that's our thing. When I'm visiting another place, mm-hmm. I want their thing. Now, I do have to say my dad and I are guilty of, on our Virginia Tech trips, and maybe this doesn't count, Brian, of stopping at a Tim Hortons in Morgantown, West Virginia. But that's also just a road trip, and we're really not visiting. We're getting gas, and there's a Tim Hortons in the gas station.
That's the one thing. Then the other thing is I keep hearing of everybody who's going to be open for people. And this is, you know, you can let us know. Are you planning on going somewhere? Are you having a party? Or are you doing what I think most people are going to be doing, and that is kind of waking up, rolling out of bed, eating some cereal, and turning on the game, which sounds like probably most of Western New York. But if you are going out somewhere, all the places that are open, I keep hearing the same thing. Hey, we're going to have breakfast ready to go, a breakfast sandwich, mimosas, and Bloody Marys. And I hear that every time, and I think, well, what? I hope you have beer, too. I don't understand how, like, two things became, like, the only thing that people talk about as far as drinking in the morning.
Yeah, you're also forgetting what I think is the best morning drink if you want to go that route, a screwdriver. But mimosas, I don't get Bloody Marys. I think they're disgusting. I understand that a lot. I'm in the minority.
What is we can also open up to the appeal of the Bloody Mary?
Yeah, I have no idea. I've tried it a couple times, and both times I just, no thank you. But Brian, also, I mean, 9:30, if the Bills were home at 1 o'clock, people would be drinking beer at 9:30 tailgating. That's also the thing that I think is going over people's heads.
I how those two drinks became, like, it's acceptable to have, oh, just a mimosa with brunch.
But if you're drinking a beer, what the hell are you doing?
Or you order like any other drink. You get an old fashioned with your pancakes, and like all of a sudden you have a problem. It just never made sense to me that's a thing. And Bloody Mary's, it must taste good altogether. It seems like the worst mix of ingredients that would have garnished with a vegetable.
Yeah.
And people drink, they're super popular. Vegetables themselves aren't all that popular. Right? Like, people, you're going to stick one in the drink. I never understood how that took off.
Yeah, I don't get, and Brian, I guess it tastes good to some people, and I've had different people make Bloody Marys, so it's not just one person. I've tried them at a bar, I've tried them at a tailgate, I've tried them at people's house. I've never had a Bloody Mary that I thought was good. I don't get the appeal. Obviously, it tastes good to some people. I don't get the appeal. I love a good toothpick of olives, but I'll just take them by themselves.
Yeah, I'm not a tomato juice person.
I don't mind tomato juice.
Really?
Yeah, with vodka. Like I said, I've never been able to take more than one sip and just go, no, thank you.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do love a good mimosa. I do have a feeling on Sunday, though, I'll be drinking beer. The bills are on.
Yeah, Guinness is the perfect
morning.
You're going to wake me up early for a game. Guinness in the hand.
Is that because you watch soccer in the morning and places you might go for a morning have Guinness? Does that have anything? Does that play at all into it?
No.
No?
Okay. I don't. Why would it?
I have no idea. I just thought I'd throw it
out. It's a hearty drink. If you're going to have something early on, the heartier the better to me.
There it is.
A little darker, a little more substance to it. Maybe that's why people like the Bloody Marys so much. It's got a little bit of substance into it.
Takes a while to go down?
Maybe that. You sip on it a little bit more than you would something else, or it just fills you up a little bit more. That's why I like a Guinness if I'm having anything in the morning. Maybe that's the same Bloody Mary idea. I'm not too sure.
I'm going to say this right now, and we'll follow up on Monday. Sunday, 9:30, probably my regular domestic light beer and some food.
But what are you doing for the game? 8:03, 9:30. Does it take a little bit of time to adjust to this, or have you had plans ever since it was announced? You know exactly what you're going to do. Let us know. On our text board this morning, someone said Bloody Marys are great without the vodka.
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Really? See, to me, the gross part of the Bloody Mary is all the other stuff.
Oh, no. See, it's the combination of tomato juice and vodka. These are just two things that, when I take a sip, do not mix well.
What's the sludgy stuff that sometimes gets... Now, I know that's not how it's supposed to be, but I'll see, like, sludge left over on the... Like, red, murky stuff left over.
I think that's just tomato juice that's been sitting for a while. Ugh. It hardens up like a pasta.
Just someone said a Bloody Mary tastes like a cold, wet pizza. I'm going to disagree because I will eat a cold, wet pizza and enjoy it. A cold, wet pizza in the morning out of the fridge. And how did this get a little wet? I don't know, but I'll still eat it.
I like how you don't question that. The sludge in the Bloody Mary, though.
Yes.
Again, and... For me, Brian, it's the combination with vodka. I've just never been able to stomach that taste. And I mean, not that we're getting into... I've had no problem drinking drinks with vodka beside Bloody Mary. Let's just put that out there.
Beer and tomato juice, someone else said. Maybe it's just the tomato juice for me.
Yeah.
Someone else, it took me a while to get into Bloody Marys, figured out that I only like them spicy. Maybe that's another thing. A spicy drink. I like spicy foods. I was telling you, Joe, I made salsa last weekend.
Yeah.
It's like, whew, not for the faint of heart. A spicy drink is never... They'll make beer like that. Like, they've had a beer with, like, a little spice kick, a little habanero kick added to it. It never tastes good to me.
No, the only thing that had... And it was a touch of spice. I had a hot pepper wine with pizza once. It was actually really good, but that's the only time that the spice and alcohol... Because usually if I am drinking and have something overly spicy, it's going to upset my stomach or the Tums are coming out.
Well, more on what you're thinking. 8:03, 9:30 if you want to weigh in. What do you think of those morning drinks and what is your plan for Sunday?
And while we're talking about food, I found something absolutely disgusting that I have to share when we come back from the break.
All right, it's B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.
Hey, welcome back. B-Maz and Beamer on a Friday with you. It was kind of a flashback to the 90s in here this morning. You know, at first you mentioned Amy Jo Johnson celebrating a birthday, the Pink Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the dog, unless I heard it wrong, its name was Ponderosa.
Yeah.
So, you know, just a real flashback
to the
90s.
Remember when that was across the street?
I do. I remember Ponderosa Buffet. Come on.
Don't think I've ever been.
Oh, well, in Hornell, we went to Ponderosa a few times.
So a big thing?
There was something. It was kind of like the Pizza Hut thing. There was something to do with your grades, I think. I don't know. I just know we went a few times. Nice big buffet. I'm not sure they're in business anymore.
Well, Not here.
Oh, I know they're not here. I know they're not here. Also, I think I may have fallen for something. According to a program on a competing radio station, calamari, there's imitation calamari that's made from pig butt. But there's a few people out there saying, no, that's not true. So maybe I'm not as disgusted as I was when we threw it to break. That's what that was what the tease was for, but it kind of got shot down when I actually looked it up further than the first link. Yeah.
So that doesn't sound right.
No. So enjoy the calamari.
Okay.
Yeah.
803-0930, how are you taking in the game at 9:30 this Sunday? Let us know. Party? Are you going out somewhere? Or are you rolling out of bed and, you know, maybe cooking up a nice bowl of cereal and a cup of coffee and watching it at home? What's happening in your house? 803-0930 on our text board. There's a lot of people who are weighing in on what you're having with breakfast. Because I did say it does kind of bug me. It always gets mentioned. A mimosa, a Bloody Mary, you know, always gets mentioned. To me, it's... And the same thing goes for food. Like, if you are going to breakfast, what do you want for breakfast? You can have literally anything for breakfast. You want a chicken parm sub for breakfast? Go right at it. It's breakfast. I never understood why some foods are just like people refuse to eat them outside of a certain time window.
And that can go the other way. If you want a breakfast sandwich for dinner, have a breakfast sandwich for dinner.
Yes, we have breakfast for dinner in our house all the time. Pancakes, you name it, breakfast for dinner, it's great.
By the way, Bloody Mary also has spices, Worcester sauce, however you say that, and celery. So those are the things that might make it a little more sludgy, just to follow up.
Yeah, that's just as nothing about that sounds appetizing to me to have as a drink. If you're going to eat what you want. If you're going to drink early in the morning, you drink what you want. And it doesn't make a difference if it's, it's just champagne and orange juice, or if it's a glass of scotch. You're drinking either way, so you might as well just have what you really want to have.
That's right. But, you know, a lot of people having fun with it. One person on our text board having a full English breakfast. Egg, bacon, sausage, beans. I lost it. Mushrooms.
I think it's... Well, Joe, the word starts with M-U-S-H-R-O-O.
Yeah, rooms.
What do you think the last letter is?
Gammon, black pudding, toast, and maybe... haggis. So, I mean, they're really going all out.
Yeah, the English breakfast. People ask me. So as soon as I saw this on the schedule, I'm like, all right, well, I know I'm not going to be able to make the trip to London.
Yeah, put that one
out. Then I put it in the back of my head. It's like, well, just like we were saying earlier, if I'm going to London, I don't want to go to London to go to a Bills game. You know, I can do that here. I want to go to do something else. So at least that's what I'm telling myself to make me feel better about not making the trip. But I was like, okay, 9:30, let's have a party. Let's make some breakfast. Let's get everything going. And so that's exactly what we're doing. And people were asking, are you going to make the English breakfast? You're going to have English food because they're over in London, you know, themed that way. I said, one, no. Two, why would I? I mean, who wants the beans and the black pudding and all that English food? Here's the thing about English
food.
That's
heavier than the chicken parm sub you just mentioned.
English food, if it's known for anything, it's known for being terrible. Yeah. So I'm not going to do that just because the Bills are... No, we're going to have good food, the breakfast stuff that everybody else likes.
They didn't mention my favorite English food, though. An English muffin. Does that not count?
Is that English? I mean, Big Ben is on the Thomas's label there. You would think it has something to do. I hope so. I've been lied to my whole life.
That's the one thing the English did right, the English muffin.
I have them all the time. Yeah. I love an English muffin. Put a little peanut butter on there.
I like to put a little honey on top of it.
Honey. Okay. Yeah. No, we're not doing the English breakfast, but we are doing a full breakfast. We're having a bunch of people over to watch the game because it's just one of those things you feel it's a weird time. It's something different. It's only going to happen once every,
6 years?
5 years max. Like, I mean, I would be stunned if it happens more often than that. So let's go all out and do something different instead of just, which I'm pretty sure I did the last time the Bills were in London, wake up, go to the couch, lay down, fall asleep during half the game.
Last time the Bills played, I was here Sunday. And I thought the host at the time of Hardline was just not going to have a show because who's going to listen? And he ended up having a show, Brian. I had to work during the Bills game. I had a spread in there. I had chips, dip, I had sodas. and said I had to run the program. So I'm excited that this time I can actually focus on the Bills-London game.
It works out for me. I think this will be the first game. I mean, a little bit of the Monday night he stayed up late. This is the first game my son will be able to watch and be up for. Usually Bills time is like nap time for him. It works perfectly. Game kicks off. I'm like, all right, buddy, let's go upstairs. It's your nap time. And he sleeps for almost the entire game, which I think is true for a lot of toddlers. This way, he'll be up. He'll be ready to go.
This
excited
is it.
To watch the Bills. So that'll be pretty cool, too. Someone else, how about a set of fake buck teeth
that's
to
mean.
Watch the game?
That's mean.
I mean, that's the most British thing I can think of. If you, what do you think of when you think of over there in England? I think of Shane McGowan's mouth and the Big Ben and terrible food. That's generally what I kind of get there. Someone else said more of a Canadian thing, but I don't know exactly what they're referring to.
You know, you talk about if you're over there, you know, people going to the Buffalo food, maybe it's because the minute they got there, they did try an English dish and said, you know what?
Yeah, we'll
I'll
stick
just take
to the
some
basics.
Chicken wings.
Yeah. Just give me a burger and fries. Yeah. Everything else here is just not for me.
Fish and chips. But that's the one thing I would get when I landed.
Hard
in.
To mess it up.
Yeah, exactly.
You can put anything in a fryer. You know, I say that and we said chicken wings everywhere is just not the same.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, though, you fry it up. It'll be good enough to eat.
Yeah, I mean, right? As long as I'm not the one at the fryer, yes.
How you can't mess it up.
No, but I've been known at the deep fryer when I worked at a place that had a deep fryer. They kept me away from it.
Why?
Brian, back
that's
then,
literally the first thing they put you on when you start in the kitchen a lot of
Brian,
places.
That was no collared shirt Joe, okay? We've changed now. Now I can fry.
I wonder how they kept you employed, though.
I was good at delivering the items.
Okay.
That's why
get them out of here.
As soon as I turned 18, they took me off. They got me out of the kitchen, and I delivered for 12 years after. Yeah.
Just drive around. That's fine. That's fine with us. No, it's like the first thing they start you out at in the kitchen. It's like, all right, put it in the basket, drop the basket, thing beeps, take it out. Put it in there.
Yeah. No, I'm not happy with my failures at the fry station.
But like that, you can go anywhere around the yes. country. If it's a fried food, like, all right, I know it. I know it's going to be edible.
And that's the one decent thing that they're known for when it comes to food. Fish and chips. So are we, though. So, I mean, we can do pretty good fish fries here in Buffalo.
Look at the pizza. We have other things going for us other than fried food.
Yeah, of course.
But they're, put it in the fryer, and that's fine. Someone else, the mimosas you can do with OJ, apple cider, cranberry juice, any type of juice. Is that still a mimosa, though? Like, yeah, you can mix anything together. Is that still technically the same drink?
I've never had it without orange juice, so I wouldn't know.
I mean, can put anything in all those drinks, and it's good. A warm apple cider and a little something extra in there. An Irish coffee. Those will be popular drinks at 9:30 in the morning.
Yeah. I have had a mimosa without orange juice. It's just champagne.
Yes, that's what it is. When there's only two things, that's it.
I mean, I think the screwdriver, I think, is a great, if we're going to go, hey, breakfast-style drinks, I don't know if it gets any better than orange juice and vodka. That right there is, if I was like, hey, Brian, I'm sticking to morning-themed drinks, that would be my drink of choice, of the three that we've mentioned.
I don't, if I ever, anytime I go out to breakfast or brunch, it's one of two things. It's give me the water to start, and then it's just a glass of milk. I'm a milk drinker if I'm having a big breakfast. Like, milk always makes it go down better. So it's just a glass of milk. Give me that $4 little cup that I drink in one sip of whole milk. Why it's so expensive everywhere you go, I don't know. But that's what I'm going to take.
There's no lactate milk, so I can't order milk when I'm out.
That's for me. And then if you're drinking, it's going to be a Guinness. Probably will be the first thing I start off with on Sunday. The big breakfast, apparently, is a Canadian thing. Is that true? They're known for... I kind of maple syrup, that checks out, right? That would be, you know, up north... Yeah. Think Vermont, but also Canada. So you got the maple syrup going for you and all the pancakes. All right, maybe this does check out. They have their own bacon, though, that's not as good.
No offense to the Canadians. I don't like the Canadian bacon.
I never thought of the big breakfast being a strictly Canadian thing.
This is the first time hearing of it.
Apparently it is. Someone else saying we're having espresso martinis. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
The Windsor Tavern on Transit has great English food.
And there'll apparently be a service there for the Bills game.
That's the right. What is the one I'm getting it mixed up with? There's the Windsor Tavern.
By Coles.
A Glen Park Tavern. Is that what I'm on Main thinking Street of? Because yep, that they're both in taverns, the Clarence
yeah,
named tavern in the Clarence area. I'm getting that mixed up. So yeah,
one's on Transit, one's on Main Street.
And you can make a beer mosa. That's, you ever do one of those?
No.
Oh, that's a Bills mosa?
What's that?
It's a OJ and Utica Club.
Nope.
Or OJ and, you know, Labatt. You never have to have the OJ in there for yeah, a Bills Mosa.
I get you.
That's how maybe we'll have some of those on Sunday morning.
I will try that. I will not try the hot sauce in Pepsi that we're seeing the trend go around, but I will try the Bills Mosa.
Yeah, that's another. That's put that right up there with the Bloody Mary things that I'm just looking at and saying no thank you.
I love Josh Allen, but I'm not putting hot sauce in my Pepsi.
Anything hot to drink, I'm surprised it takes off the way it is. Whether it's the Bloody Mary or some of those, you know, beers with spice or hot sauce or peppers or whatever in there, drinking something spicy just doesn't seem to work out for me. And you mentioned the service that they're having. I think that's such a smart idea on both hands. Both from the restaurant and from the church that's going out there and doing the service before the game, right?
Yeah, that's...
You will go to something like that even if you are not necessarily a churchgoer.
Yes.
And that's what you got to be doing if you're any sort of church. This is a Lutheran church in this case, but any denomination, you got to be thinking about that. Like, hey, how do we get more people invested? People will come just to check it out for the novelty of it. And then, who knows, maybe if you get just one person to come on a regular Sunday or visit the church, I mean, it's success
a win. Yeah, exactly.
In the end. I think that's a really cool idea. We had, if you missed it, we had the pastor on yesterday who is doing service inside the Windsor Tavern on Transit this upcoming Sunday at 8:30. He joined us yesterday. That's available on demand at WBEN.com. Lumberjack breakfasts are great. Someone said the farmer. Is there a difference between all these? So a lumberjack breakfast, you think a bunch of pancakes. That's normally my breakfast. Love to have a bunch of pancakes. I don't know how that got associated with lumberjacks, but it did. Then there's the farmer's breakfast. You ever been to a farmer's breakfast?
Maybe.
Out somewhere like at a Rotary Club or Knights of Columbus or something like that, and they have all the breakfast staples, and you know, you pay whoever donation to the club, and then you can kind of go up and get whatever you want. Farmers, I'm guessing it's just called a farmer's breakfast because everyone's getting together.
Oh, I was going to say it's farmer's breakfast because all those things came from the farm.
I mean, that could be. I don't think they grow pancakes.
If they have pancakes at a farmer's breakfast, then never mind.
But like all these different names, do they mean anything? Is there like one food that goes in one but not the other? Or are they just all different ways to say big breakfast?
Yeah, they're all different ways.
Is there a difference between breakfast and brunch?
Yes. I mean, you can have whatever you want for breakfast, but brunch is like, okay, we're going to put some breakfasty foods. Eggs Benedict, I think, is a big brunch thing. But your brunch menu will also have, you know, a burger on it. Some people wouldn't put that under the breakfast. Again, breakfast is really just what you eat in the morning.
Breakfast to me, two people under 30 minutes. That's breakfast. Brunch lasts an hour or more.
Yeah.
If it's an hour or longer and you have more than two people, that's a brunch.
Okay. Brunch is a commitment. Breakfast you can get out of pretty quickly.
Breakfast is on the go.
Yep.
Break fast. Cereal is served at breakfast. Brunch has hot foods and you're sitting down. You're going to be there a while. Brunch, you might be tucking in that little napkin handkerchief into your, like you're at chef's or something, or putting it on your lap because you have that kind of spread in front of you.
You said this.
There's a tablecloth at brunch. There's a counter at breakfast.
You said this, and I don't know why it brought me to this, and I do not mean to steer this off to a different direction. Breakfast. You know a continental breakfast you get at a hotel? What is the ideal things on that counter at a continental breakfast?
So the continental breakfast is kind of, it's a little bit of a, I don't know what they're drilling. I thought that was coming right through the monitor for a second. The continental breakfast I love, because I just love the whole thing. I don't continental. What? Why did we settle on continental? What makes it a continental?
No idea.
That's just the word for it. It sounds fancy and like everything. You want to pretend that when you're at a hotel, you're traveling across the continent. I mean, you kind of are, I guess. Makes it sound businesslike for the continental breakfast. But it is still a breakfast because you're doing it quickly.
Yes.
But it's all brunch foods usually.
Yeah, well, you'll get your little tub of cereal.
You can have breakfast. You can have either or. And you're eating with more people.
True. That,
which is a brunch-like thing, but you're only eating with your people, technically.
And there's no tablecloth. Or at least at the,
no tablecloth.
The hotels I go to.
Yeah, I think once you add a tablecloth, that's a little like a seated breakfast. Now you're at more of like a bed and breakfast type of thing. The continental breakfast, I had a great one when we went, where were we? I forgot what place we were at. We had a great one. Waffle maker at a continental breakfast is the thing you have to have. If you have that, I'll be happy no matter what. You have the waffle maker, it starts to beep. Sorry to everyone else, this is annoying. I have to leave it in there just a tad longer for it to get a little extra crispy and golden brown. You have the waffle maker, that's great. A piece of fruit, whether that's a banana or an apple, I can take with me on the way out. That's a bonus, too. English muffin or a bagel with that little conveyor belt toaster. That's a good one. I'm more for the English muffin. Bonus points if you have peanut butter for me to spread on it instead of just butter.
Yeah.
And then for the kids, if you got scrambled eggs in one of those big biodomes that they put out there at, where it's like bacon or eggs or whatever, a sausage. My kid loves eggs and sausage is his dream breakfast, so he's loving that.
I feel like the waffle maker's gotten more popular in the last 15 years.
Have to have it.
Yeah, now it's a must, and it's for, you know, we stay at a lot of hotels on our way down to Tech and back over the year, and every place has a waffle maker, and I that was not the case 15 years ago.
Crazy that it wouldn't be.
Right.
Do they not trust people? Is that like a liability thing?
Probably.
The hot iron, like don't put your hand in the waffle maker and then sue us.
You know, stop filling the cup up at the line.
Because it really is the ultimate thing to have there. The little juice thing, you get to choose your juices. Yeah. That's nice, but I always stick to the milk. I'm a milk person at breakfast. I've had at a continental breakfast my one experience with truly rancid milk where I've opened it up. You don't really get to smell out of that. You know, you do... pulling out that little thing, creating a little spout out of the milk carton. It tasted my lips. The friend I was sitting across from, he said, you should have seen your face when, as soon as you took a sip out of that. I mean, it was the most disgusting thing I've ever had. So I'm always now a little leery. I go to the continental breakfast. I'm double-checking dates. I'm doing a sniff test on that milk before I open it.
See, you know me and my stories of foods that I... That would be the end of milk at the Continental Breakfast if that happened to me. I mean, that would be...
There's no second chances for you.
I say the Continental Breakfast has to have the waffle maker. It has to have the stuff that you can sit down, like the eggs and bacon and sausage. But it also, like you said, has to have something that you can grab. A Continental Breakfast, I think, has to offer both. You have to be able to
Cereal bar.
Yes, that has to be there.
Cereal bar, something covered, fruit. Something, I'm just swinging by and then I'm out the door like in 2 seconds.
I'm getting my cup of coffee, putting the lid on, grabbing something, I'm gone.
Or I can sit around here and wait. At Continental Breakfast is the one place where you can go out in public, sit down, eat something, and there is no dress code.
Oh, yeah. No, you're in a hotel.
I mean, pajama pants can be worn in public in one place only. The Continental
Breakfast. The hotel lobby.
I mean, that is where it's acceptable, and you're not looking at anybody any sort of way for wearing that down there.
And bonus points if you have a TV with the remote next to it for someone at the breakfast to control.
Oh, it's always on whatever the
Today
local
Show.
News. Yeah, local 24-hour news or something like that.
Yeah.
And you're just seeing the same thing on a loop.
Yeah. Ah. Days of the Weather Channel, not as much. Like it used to be. That used to be always on in the hotel lobby, but now it's on my phone.
Yeah.
Hey, no Hardline Sunday, because who's listening?
Well, I mean, I want to
should
give
I have
you,
not said it that
yeah,
way?
Yeah, I'd want to give your own show a little more credit than that, Joe.
So no hardline this weekend. I'm gonna let the producer here, I'm gonna let you at home watch the game, but we will be back the following week, and we are in communication with both of the county executive campaigns on having a candidate forum October 22nd. Looks like the date. Not 100%, but that could be the case. So stay tuned for that. Brian will be back Monday, 5 to 10, and I will see you Monday afternoon at 2.
3.5 hours left on this fire truck auction.
Has it gone up?
It's $3,200.
Whoa.
Fire truck could be.
If we hear on a Monday, we'll know.
That'll be me.
We'll know. Hey, enjoy the game. Go Bills. We'll talk to you. Oh, go Hokies. Big game against a top five team this weekend. So go Hokies, go Bills. David is next here on News Radio 930 WBEN.